So you want to turn to James chapter 4. And in our church Bibles, you'll find that on page 1217. I'd planned to do a great big recap of the series, unpacking some of the theology that we did at the beginning and going on a little bit more, but there just isn't time. I've written it all out. I've got it all in my notes here, but there just isn't the time to do it. So I'll just go with what we've got in the service sheet, even though I've got much more I'd love to have shared. But for visitors, we have had this three-month series, really, where God has richly blessed us. We renewed our covenant with God. We made promises publicly in February. Was it February of this year? We adopted new documents as a church, a basis of faith, together with promises attached to those bases of faith. And we called those our common faith and our common life. And we made a promise, those that became members at that point. And that really describes our common life together, what we intend it to look like and what we understand that God wants it to look like. And we've been thinking about, in the light of that, the whole issue of maintaining that covenant. And that led us very naturally into, well, the problem with maintaining our covenant is sin. So we need to think about our battle against sin. So that's why we're doing our Common Fight series. Let's start with the year verse that was introduced, I think, the week before we renewed our covenant. So I think it's 5-all, although I've got some dispute from Lee here. Lee, do you want to make it? This is your chance to get this side to win. You know what it is? Okay. Are you going to do it without looking down? Go on then. This is our year verse. For those who are visiting, we have a year verse that we remember as a church. I preached on it earlier in the year, and then this series, we've kind of gone to it every week, more or less. So Lee, our year verse.
Submit yourself to God, therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will resist you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. James 4, chapter 4, verses 7 and 8.
Very good. Very good, Lee. Not quite word perfect, but very good nonetheless. Thank you. Well done. This is, I think, word perfect. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. So the therefore tells you there's a reason why we're being asked to do it. So we looked at the passage before. Resist the devil, and it's not that he will resist you. He will flee from you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. James 4, 7, 8, A. This side wins. I declared it. So we learned that this is not only a description of covenant renewal, that year verse describes what it means to come to God and make our promises before him in a solemn relationship pact at a point in time. It also is a description of covenant maintenance. It describes what an ongoing relationship with God and a local church, and us as individual believers, should look like. And it describes it as an ongoing fight. The words are quite combative, aren't they? Submit and resist and draw near. So we see there's a battle going on. And we understand, therefore, that our covenant renewal means that we engage in an ongoing fight, our common fight together, in preserving our common life. We've learned that as part of our common faith, we share one book in common together. That's an obvious statement, but we learned that at the beginning of this series, that we have one book in common, which of course is the Bible. Now, I think lots of churches would say that they have the Bible in common as their book, but we learned especially that it's not just that we have the book in common. What's important is the attitude that we have to the book when we come to listen to it being read and expounded or taught on a Sunday morning. And that was very striking. We learned that our attitude when listening to the Bible being read and explained makes all the difference in our common fight against sin. We were told in James, to listen in a spirit of meekness. Some of you that were here will remember that word. And I defined it roughly like this: accepting sincerely that when God says something in his word about me, that he is absolutely right. So I don't come to church, listen to God's word being read, and then think, This morning, I am going to select the bits that Pastor says I like. And the bits that Pastor says from God's Word, provided what Pastor's saying is rooted in Scriptures, of course. He's not just gone off on one. But provided it's based and rooted in the Scriptures, we can come to church thinking, I'm going to be selective. I just want something that's going to entertain me. At some academic level, perhaps. But actually, that's not the way we come to the Bible. As the Lord's people, as a covenanted people, we come knowing that we are in desperate need of God's Word in our life, that we have to submit to it. That means we sit under it, not over it, in judgment. And when we hear something that's uncomfortable, and we will hear things that make us feel uncomfortable as believers, because God's addressing our lives, which are not perfect, by a long chalk, when we hear those things that make us feel a bit edgy and a bit uncomfortable, we don't start saying, that's a good message for the person sitting next to me. We start saying, everything in God's Word is good for me. I'm going to listen to this meekly. And that was, I think that has been a very key lesson for us to learn and to be reminded of in this series. I think it's maybe the reason why we've been able to unpack such a personal matter. Because I think the Holy Spirit has helped us just adopt this attitude of coming and listening as people who need to listen. People who need help. Sinners in need of grace. And I include myself in that. So our common fight, we need to also to have a common attitude to listening to the Bible. And then we looked at some so-called respectable sins. There's no such thing as a respectable sin, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying some sins are respectable, but there's a book called Respectable Sins, and that gave me the idea for what to look at. So respectable sins are so-called because they're sins that we no longer consider sins because we've kind of accommodated them in our lives and they've become our friends. Okay, so for example, anger. We can just end up thinking, "Well, I'm just a bit of a grumpy person. That's not sin. It's just the way I am." And we dealt with those kind of issues through this study and series. And these are some of the subjects we looked at. And I need to fill in the blanks for you. Ungodliness. Maybe those that have been coming to this series can do this for me. What's ungodliness? Leaving God out of. Oh dear. Out of areas of our lives. Thank you, Peter. Excellent. Discontentment. This will be harder. Being dissatisfied or unhappy with one's situation or circumstances. That's right. That was Andy. You weren't even here, were you? Well done. Anxiety, I gave you the definition for this earlier, so no excuses for anybody here. Anxiety, feeling afraid about the future. Who suffers from that? Yeah. Unthankfulness is a word. When I saw that, I didn't think it was a word, but it is a word in the Oxford English Dictionary. Not feeling or showing pleasure or gratitude, and this belittles the gift, in this case, primarily the gift of salvation. Often our unthankfulness is based towards God and it belittles the giver. When we're not thankful, it makes the person who's given to us smaller, as it were, not worthy of our gratitude. How shameful to be the Lord's people and not constantly thankful for what Jesus has done, the sins forgiven, the life we experience now together, our common life, and also the future we have in heaven. What is there not to be thankful for at all times? And then we thought about pride. We could have put pride at the beginning. It's the kind of the soil that allows all these other ones, other weeds to come in. But pride is thinking too highly, well done, too highly of oneself. It's like looking down your nose at someone. Selfishness, which is related to pride, I said in the series that selfishness is like how you see where pride is. Pride can be hidden. Selfishness exposes pride. Selfishness, lacking consideration, for other people, being concerned chiefly with one's own profit or pleasure. And self-indulgence, and this was quite an interesting one for me, because we dealt a little bit with the issue, whole issue of the relationship between sin and addiction. And we noted that when we indulge our fleshly passions, whatever they may be, our intellectual passions, they actually can break down our will and control us. And we actually can become addicted. And that was a really interesting week. Self-indulgence, tending to do exactly what one wants, especially when this involves pleasure or idleness. Then we thought about the problem of the tongue. So the tongue is not sinful. There's a problem of the tongue, which is controlling it, which is what Andy talked about. And we talked about the fact that goes back down to the heart. And then anger. Anger is a very interesting one. A strong feeling of annoyance, displeasure, or hostility arising from a perception, and it may be right or wrong, this perception, you may not have this right, a perception that an offense has occurred that deserves punishment. And we said how easily, as the Lord's people, someone does something wrong to us, and we become judge, jury, and executioner in an instant. And that's just wrong. And we talked about that. Do I do well to be angry? Was one of the key questions. So that's a very quick recap. We talked about the gospel and how none of this is possible but for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if there are unbelievers here, I want to urge you not to try and engage in your fight against sin. What you need to do is come to Jesus, who will take the punishment that your sins deserve, has taken them away, and who will give you a new life. But talk to me about that afterwards. We run courses here called Christianity Explored that can explain those things in detail. James 4, 1 to 10. We're thinking then about our common prayer life in the context of our common fight against sin. I hope, if you're a visitor, that this phrase, our common, is helpful to you. We're the Lord's people. We have our life in common. And then we have many things in common. And the Bible wants us to view them as things that we hold together in common. That includes our prayer life. So James 4, verse 1, page 1217. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. So we come to the last sermon in this series, and our concern as the Lord's people here especially is to consider how we can ensure that the things we have learned, some of those things that we've just recapped and rehearsed, those things that we have learned remain part of our everyday life together. Those things that Rob said he learned, those things that Andy said he learned, how can we make sure they remain part of our life? We don't want to kind of pack ourselves on the back and say, well, I survived that series. It was a touch and go at times. I got a bit uncomfortable when we were talking about this or that. But now we've moved on. Life's going to get a whole load more comfortable, and I can put that behind me. We don't want to do that. The Holy Spirit doesn't give that attitude to his people. We want the change that God wants for us. We want to go forward. We want to maintain a healthy direction in our spiritual lives. So we come to this morning's sermon, which is about our common prayer life. It's thinking about the vital role that prayer plays and is meant to play in this whole matter of our common fight against sin. So I've called it simply our common prayer life. So we look at our year verse and we see that first line, submit yourselves therefore to God. And if submitting to God speaks or spoke to us primarily about listening to God's word meekly, then drawing near to God, and he shall draw near to you, perhaps speaks to us about prayer. It speaks to us about talking to God about the things he has spoken to us about when we have submitted to him. It's a conversation, isn't it, that's in view. We submit, we get the right attitude, we listen to God's word, and he talks to us. That's amazing, absolutely amazing. By his Holy Spirit, he will talk generally to the whole congregation and personally to individuals by his Holy Spirit. And drawing near to God is like saying, now I'm going to talk to God about the things that he's touched in my life and in our life together as a church. So it's like our common fight encapsulated in this year verse not only means that we have to have a right attitude to listening to God, but I think it means that we have to have an active and common prayer life. We need to pray together. We listen together, don't we? And we need to pray together. As God speaks to us, we need to come together and talk to God in response. In essence, that's really a relationship I've described, isn't it? You can't get to know anyone without talking to them. And that's how we as a church grow in our knowledge of God together, but also how we grow as individuals together as part of this family. So the challenge for some this morning, this is what's been most encouraging as a pastor, is that there are many here, and some not here, who can't be here this morning, who have expressed a real desire to make progress in their spiritual life. They want to grow. It's a very precious thing. And the challenge for some of those, because they're fairly new to church life in general, and also new to the faith, and the challenge will be to go from a kind of a more passive role, where you have the right attitude to listening, to an active role, where together with the Lord's people, you begin engaging with God through talking out loud about the things that he's addressed in our lives together, which will mean that you start coming to the prayer meeting that we hold currently on a Tuesday evening here at 7 o'clock. Just thinking about that, there's irony there. I think on the notice sheet, I haven't put the prayer meeting. Is that right? It's the one week I haven't put the prayer meeting on the notice sheet. So, the fact that it's not there is just to draw your attention to it. There is a prayer meeting this week, 7 o'clock in the back room. I'll be talking a bit more about that later because we're going to try and mix it up a bit, change it for the specific purpose of helping new ones who want to learn to pray and grow in grace. Now, I've spent quite a lot of time over the last couple of weeks talking to members and non-members, but people attending regularly. And it's made it clear that my main job this morning is simply to help people see that the prayer meeting is for all who want to grow. If you come away from this morning understanding that, if I want to grow in grace, if I want to stop drifting or have this sense of being a little bit aimless, I want really God's word to make a bigger impact in my life, you need to go away with this simple thing. I need to pray with the Lord's people on a regular basis. I need to start coming to the prayer meeting. Job done. If you go away with that and act on it. I think there are one main misconception and one main concern that I've had aired to me as I've discussed these things with people. The first misconception is this, that the prayer meeting is perceived to be a place for seasoned veterans. Okay? So if you're an old, wrinkly Christian, or you've been a Christian for decades, then the prayer meeting is obviously the place for you. And you kind of go off there and you do something that young believers have got no idea what's going to go on, and it's a deep mystery, and who knows when or if ever they might be mature enough to attend it. That's completely, that is a misconception. That's not correct. So I've got to do something to address that this morning. And then there's a concern. This is a concern that a new or young believer might have, which is this. If I summon up the courage to go to this place which is for these seasoned veterans, what on earth is going to happen to me when I get there? I know instinctively that it's going to be a bit more participatory than here. Although, with me preaching, it tends to be a little bit more participatory here in the listening sense than in some churches, because I can pick on anyone sometimes. But in the prayer meeting, we tend to know that we might be asked to pray or expected to pray, and that fills us with a little bit of nervousness. So I've got to deal with those two things. And I've decided to deal with it initially by interviewing Lee, who's going to come up here now, please. And thank you, Lee. So this is my third volunteer. You need this, Lee.
Thank you.
Do you want to put that on there so you can rest it there? So Lee has been attending here for 6 months. Mm-hmm. That is 6 months, I think. February, you first came in.
Yeah.
And March, was it?
Yeah. March. End of February, March, yeah.
Okay, excellent. Details. And we'll go from there. Lee, what first made you want to come to the weekly prayer meeting on a Tuesday evening? Maybe I should ask, when did you first come?
From what I recall, I think it was... I came to the service on the Sunday, and it was the second week that I came along, second service, and then felt that's where the link was for the going to the Tuesday prayer meeting.
So it was very early on.
It was, yeah.
So week one, Sunday morning service, week two, Sunday morning service, and then you mentioned this link. So what was it, that link, that made you want to come to the weekly prayer meeting on that Tuesday?
I think it's what you just said. It's about how you want to grow. I felt very welcome coming into the church on a Sunday. I felt that, you know, that was a really good experience. But I knew that for me, if I wanted to grow in, you know, in front of God, I had to take that further. So it was about taking that leap of faith and going to the prayer meeting on a Tuesday.
Yeah. And did you get? Was there an encouragement in a sermon? I think you mentioned.
Yeah.
There was some link in the sermon, wasn't there?
There was a link in the sermon. I think it was when you were initially just starting the series of the Common Fight. And it was very much that a lot of it was very much, you know, relevant to what was going on. But I just felt that I could, I think it's what you say, that you can, you listen to God's word on a Sunday, but you actually talk to God on a Tuesday.
Lovely.
In a family environment.
Lovely. So, thank you, Lee. Secondly, then, as a newcomer to church, and really a complete newcomer.
Yeah.
So, a newcomer to church in general.
Yeah.
And especially to the prayer meeting. Yeah. You'd never been to a prayer meeting before in your life,
no.
Had you? No. What was the experience of attending our church prayer meeting for the first time like? So, cover your ears up, you're a bit nervous about the answer, folks.
It was actually scary, I've got to be honest. There was... I'm being quite honest about that. On a Sunday, you come here, and I felt it was very encouraging and very welcoming. I don't feel that there's sort of ever been a time where you haven't felt welcomed. On a Tuesday, it's at a different level. You're going into, as you say, particularly members and a group that are actually praying. And for a non-member, that was going to be quite a big step to take. The initial experience was actually quite scary and daunting.
Did you think about any point about turning away as you were walking the aisle?
Yep.
You did?
Yeah.
No, I hadn't asked you that before. So, yeah. Really, really intimidating.
Yeah.
Helpful for us as mature believers to know this and to get this into our minds. Mm. Thirdly, Lee, you mentioned that you did not know what to expect, but you were there, and perhaps you were therefore afraid or nervous, even to the point of thinking about turning around and going away.
Yeah.
Can you explain, perhaps for someone here who is in your shoes, the shoes that you were in back then, and thinking about coming to either a prayer meeting in their own church somewhere else, or maybe our own church prayer meeting if they attend here, but not currently the prayer meeting, what can they expect? What's going to hit them when they walk through the door? That's metaphoric, by the way.
I think the most important thing is that actually it's very similar to a Sunday. You are welcomed. It's a very welcoming environment again. I've often said that I see this as a second family, and it is very much that. You're going to your family in that way, so that they're encouraging you to come in when you're actually praying. I think the experience was, initially, from what I recall, that first week, I didn't pray at all. It was more of a listening and growing. So what tends to happen is everyone in a circle goes round, discusses what we're going to pray. We've got prayer sheets, and it's what we all want to sort of pray. And I felt that I couldn't do that at the time. I wanted to listen to others and sort of grow in that way. But that, I think, is really important, because then you're not feeling the pressure of that you've got to pray publicly.
Just again, that's not one of the questions we've discussed.
Oh, okay.
But as we were, on that first week, as we went around the circle, and there were lots of people there who pray regularly, and it was coming towards you.
Yep.
Did you find it a problem to just tap the person beside you to let them know that you didn't want to pray at that point? And did hearing people pray give you a desire to pray more, or did it make you think, I can't do this?
Yeah, it gave me a desire. I think it was that initial going round. I remember tapping the person on my left, and they took my they prayed next. But I felt once I had an idea and an understanding of what prayer was, it allowed me to sort of listen and grow with that.
Okay, so helpful experience, yeah. Generally. Okay, the next question is, what was your first experience of talking to God out loud in public? Speaking, what was it like? Okay. The interesting, isn't it? We have here a gentleman who's just recently uttered their first prayer as a new believer in a prayer meeting.
Yeah.
And what was that like in the prayer meeting for you?
I think we've spoken about this before. I think it was, if you try and relate it to, I'm a child, or probably a toddler, if anything, because a child has, sort of, they can, where, you know, they've got the words, they've been educated. As a toddler speaking to their father, you're going to go, bad, 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 bad. And you can't talk. It's just not there. And there's a relationship, there's a bond, but you don't know how to express that.
Yeah.
And I think that happens over time. So I think initially it was very, well, how do I say this? What is it I'm trying to say? Where's the words? How am I trying to reach in? Trying to really understand what you were saying about reaching into your heart. What's the Holy Spirit doing to you? That was really the sort of the... what would be the word? That was the challenge of trying to understand that, because as I've said, I've not come from a religious background before.
Learning a whole language, really.
Absolutely,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
And if your life has changed, we don't understand what's gone on.
Yeah.
And just giving expression to that is hard work. So like an infant learning to utter its first words. I think that's a very helpful way of remembering it and understanding it.
Yeah.
Did you feel that the seasoned veterans were looking down on you, ready to judge you, as you babbled your way through your first prayer and weren't quite really sure how you were trying to say what you were saying?
No. Although I initially wasn't praying, I felt that there was an encouragement from others. Even though you were asking the other person to sort of pray, it was very much that's the encouragement that... Nobody looks down on you to say, well, that's your expectation, that's the responsibility. It's very much that you're welcomed, you're part of the family, and that's how it should be.
Yeah. We know the excitement that parents have when their child says for the first time, father or mother. And I think that's the experience for people who've been in a prayer meeting for a long time, when a new one comes along and you hear them go, father. It's just amazing. It's wonderful. Lee, in what way has attending the prayer meeting on a regular basis, because you've been coming pretty regularly on a Tuesday, in what way has that helped you grow as a new and young believer?
I would say using the year verse, I've drawn near more to God. I think that's been hugely significant. On a Sunday, you listen to the word that's preached, whereas you're actually talking on a Tuesday. And I think initially from... going to the prayer meeting on a Tuesday, I found that I was praying every day regularly, because that was giving me the sort of taking away the information that we had and what we were praying for and trying to put that into practice. So that really encouraged the sort of prayer, which again, previous coming to church, I'd never prayed on a daily basis. So it was a real change in that way.
Lovely, yeah. Yeah, so the sermon sheet, the prayer sheet on a Tuesday picks up on what we've been learning on a Sunday. And so we're reminded of what we've learned, we're reminded of the application, and we're encouraged to pray at home. But there's also other areas that we pray about. So we pray about the wider church. And so we get introduced to Christians across the world. So we get a concern for our brothers and sisters all over the world. And that's probably blows your mind as a new believer, that suddenly you're asked to pray for North Korea and the church in North Korea.
Yeah.
Lee, it's been great. Thank you.
No worries.
Thank you very much. I'm sure Lee will happily take some follow-up questions from you after the service. And thanks to Rob and Andy again for really helping us unpack something of the content of this series. So let's quickly think about James 4. I'm going to wrap this up as quickly as I can. I think on your sheets you'll notice that I've picked out three interesting statements that James uses in that those verses we read. You do not have because we do not ask. And then secondly, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly. That's verse 3. And if we ask rightly, he, that's the Lord, will give us more grace, verse 6. So let's just quickly think about those. So I want to ask you, some of you this morning, about this, in relation to this question, you do not have because we do not ask. What's prevented you, if anything, or is still preventing you from participating in the common prayer life of this church, or your own church if you're from another church and not participating in the common prayer life? That's something from this sermon you need to go away and think about. What is preventing you? You do not have because you do not ask. We ask, come to God and ask at the prayer meeting, fundamentally together. So these Christians that James is writing to were full of a heady mixture of worldly and spiritual desires. They weren't cleaned up Christians, as it were. They weren't sanitized. They were a melting pot of worldly passions and spiritual desire. And their basic problem in some cases was that they weren't talking to God about all that was going on inside them as a result of what God was saying to them about his word. They weren't telling God about how they were feeling and about the things that they desired. It's very simple. The prayer meeting is where we come as the Lord's people to talk to God about the things we want and the things we need. Okay, if you're an established believer, that might sound shocking to you, but that actually is the theology of prayer. And I could come on Tuesday, even if you're a visitor, and I'll explain it to you. We come as the Lord's people to talk to him quite simply about the things we want and the things we need. And these Christians weren't doing it. And what James says, step one to sorting out that mixed bag of things, because obviously the difficulty is actually we don't really know what we want. And if we're asked what we need, we might have a great big list of things that are completely irrelevant. God knows what we want and what we need. And if you don't attend prayer, that mixed bag just stays the way it is. And actually, what will get the upper hand in your life is the sin. The old ruling passions will come back, and the weeds will grow over and choke out your spiritual growth. So remember that this is a spiritual battle. Growth in grace, getting to know God better, is a spiritual battle. It's not only your nerves that you are fighting against, the nerves that you feel when you're thinking about going to the prayer meeting. It's not just those. There is an enemy who desperately wants to stop you from making right, healthy choices, including talking to God about what you really want and what you really need. And he'll do that. This is the devil. He'll do that by convincing you that the prayer meeting is not for you. It's just not me. It's nonsense. If you're a Christian and you want to grow, you need to be here on Sunday morning learning what God is saying, and you need to be in the prayer meeting talking to God about what he's saying. But the devil will deceive us into thinking all kinds of things that will keep us away. Don't be tricked into his schemes. Secondly, then, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly. That's verse 3. So I'm going to ask you two questions here. Have you experienced disappointments in your prayer life in the past? Just answer that in your own mind. Have you asked for things and found yourselves not getting what you've asked for? And have you found discouragement in that way? Not getting the answers you expected? I would be surprised if not every single Christian answered yes to that question. I have, at times, experienced that problem. Have you ever been, the next question is, have you ever been taught systematically within the context of a local church how to pray as God wants his people to pray? Answer that question. Most Christians that I know have learnt on the job, as it were, how to pray. They've never been trained or instructed in Christian prayer. It's one of the big and great lacks of the church today in the UK, in my view. Jesus, the disciples came to Jesus and they said, Lord, teach us to pray like you do. And the Lord didn't leave it to chance. He taught them. So step two occurs after a believer's decided it's time to start talking to God honestly, simply about the things they really want and need from the heart. And verse 3 says, you come to the prayer meeting, perhaps, and you do not have because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So when we become Christians, we're not only just beginning to understand our new life, just beginning to sort out this mixed bag of what we are. We're a new person in Christ. But there's the vestiges of the old person still trying to snap at our heels and call us away from what we've become. And learning to talk to our Father in heaven, as Lee said, is like learning a completely new language, starting from scratch. And the best way to learn a language, I think, is to be taught it in class and then to speak it with people who speak it. I spoke to somebody this week who said they are talking to God, they are praying to God, and they're doing it privately. Haven't had the courage to come to the prayer meeting, which I completely understand. But they said, I got no confidence when I'm at home on my own talking to God that I'm doing the right thing or that I'm being heard or anything. That's one of the big reasons we have the prayer meeting, is to come and learn from one another and grow in grace that way, to be taught about prayer and to do it together, talk to our Father together. So the church prayer meeting is intended to be that place where we all cut our teeth with this new heart language. It's not just for seasoned veterans. It is especially for newborn believers and young believers, especially for those. So from Tuesday, with that thought in mind, with that knowledge in mind, we're going to completely change the format of our prayer meeting, because actually, when I think about what Lee's told me and others have spoken to me, our prayer meeting is pretty intimidating for new believers. And so we're going to try and just make it more accessible and less scary, so that this vital role that prayer is meant to play in our growth in grace, we are encouraged in that. This is a flavor of how we're going to do it. For the first half hour, I'm going to provide some basic teaching on prayer. We're going to go through the Lord's Prayer together. What Jesus taught his disciples, we're going to learn at a very basic level. What it is, how we do it, why we do it. It's all in Matthew 6. Then for the second half hour, we're going to put it into practice, just for half hour. So there's not a great deal of prayer. And I may even provide some sort of sample prayers that we can pray in response to that teaching directly. But if you're still not wanting to pray at that point, that's absolutely fine. No one will have to pray if they don't want to or not ready for it. Okay? But you'll be able to listen to others praying directly in response to the teaching of God's word. And then for the last half hour, what we're going to do is have tea and coffee together. And we're going to talk together. Because I saw here, if you look at James 4, 5, verse 16, therefore confess your sins to one another. And pray for one another. We're meant to come together and pray for one another that you may be healed. There's a whole issue of sharing together when we come to pray. And I suspect that our current prayer meeting doesn't do enough of that. We don't provide a format where we can just tell one another how we're doing in the Lord. So that last half hour, over a cup of coffee, we can just sit down with someone and just ask people how they're doing. And maybe, very informally, just pray for one another. So that's a completely different way of doing things for us as a church. that's what we plan to do. Finally, if you ask rightly, verse 6 of chapter 4, he, that is God, will give you more grace. So verse 6 is this fantastic promise that leads us up to our year verse. He gives more grace. What do we need to grow as the Lord's people? More grace. You can't generate it yourself. Grace is what comes from God. It's provided by him through Jesus Christ for his people to grow and develop that new life that we have in Jesus. We ask as we start to ask as God's taught us to ask through the Lord's Prayer, and God will answer and give all the things that we really want and have been taught to really need and want. We will grow in grace together. We may want all manner of things. Do you remember that song, Oh Father, Won't You Please Give Me a Brand New Mercedes-Benz? An advert was done to that. You know, we may come to the prayer meeting nursing something like that in our hearts and may even be bold enough to pray it. But the thing we need, we will learn in the prayer meeting as we learn about prayer, is that what the Lord wants us to do is to desire above all things his grace. We want the things he wants to give us and that he can only give us. We can't get that grace from the world. We can't get it by earning more money. We can't get it by doing stuff. We come to him and ask for it. And he gives us all we need. And all we want is met there through Jesus. The great goal, of course, is to make us more like our Father. We call God our Father through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And through prayer, he gives us grace to make us take on his likeness. We grow in the family likeness. So there we are. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. More grace. But will you draw near? Will you come and talk to God on a Tuesday night about the things he's talked to you about now, this morning? And so engage in a real conversation together, thereby growing our corporate and personal relationship with God, making spiritual progress at the same time. I'll close there.